Hello, everyone, and welcome into FCC Talk. I am your host, John Roach, Shonan Family Minister here at First Christian Church, joined today by CJ Mustin, Student Minister here at First Christian Church. CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to have you with us today.
It's good to be here.
All right. Hey, we have some great topics to get into today. We're going to be talking about the Christian influence on America today and how that is declining, some studies say. We're also going to talk about Kanye West and how he has issues with Jesus. So we're going to be talking about that. And then also, I know there are some of you out there who are Chosen fans. The creator of Chosen, Dallas Jenkins, he goes into a little bit of his thoughts of the thoughts people have had about the influence of Mormonism on Chosen. So we're going to get into all of that today. It's going to be a good discussion. We only do have about 30 minutes with CJ before he has to head out, so we will skip the Truth Tuesday stuff like that at the end, but we'll get CJ's thoughts on everything else. So you ready to get going, CJ?
I'm ready.
All right, so our first topic here is the influence of Christianity and how it has been declining in America. So they did a study, I think it was Pew Research, about how the American people, the influence of Christianity is declining. Now, if you ask me, I feel like we've kind of been able to see this with, you know, churches happening less often during the week. There is not as, you know, much time reserved for church. You know, there's a lot of sports and things like that that go on during church time. Well, what's typically been given as church time. But Pew researchers found that 80% of U.S. Oh, where'd he go? There it is. 80% of U.S. adults say religion's role in American life is shrinking, which is as high as the sentiment that has ever been in previous surveys. So 80%. CJ, let me ask you, do you feel like religion overall is losing its influence on culture?
Well, I think there's a really, really important distinction to make when you look at these survey numbers. I do think that religion itself is shrinking, the influence of religion. And I think that there is a difference between being religious and being a Jesus follower. There are lots of religions. What I see in the students that I work with is they are on fire for Jesus. And I think we've seen a resurgence of that. We've talked about this in other podcasts, and people are interested in Jesus. And I think there's an awakening there, but the religion itself, I think, is in decline. That doesn't surprise me a bit. Like you said, I see, you know, attendance dipping, and we see churches closing and Bible colleges closing, and you know, less ministers coming into the faith, or not the faith, the profession, than are leaving. And so I do think religion itself, as we understand it today, is in decline. But I don't think that's to say that Jesus is in decline. And I think we'll see, we're on the verge of maybe a new way of doing religion, and a new way of having a religious affiliation for our relationship with Jesus. And so I'm interested to see where that goes. What do you think?
Yeah, me too, man. You kind of read my mind there with when I first started reading this survey. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, how much is, you know, do people really think that, like, the role of Jesus and the Bible in our society is losing that much influence? And then as I kept reading on, I was like, this just keeps saying religion.
Right. Like, right. That's what I thought too as I read the article.
That can mean a whole lot of different things. And so it does go into some politics and what Republicans and Democrats want and things like that. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, one of the crux of the things in this article. But obviously we don't get into the politics so much, but we do talk about, you know, just like the influence that Christianity has on society. And that was going to be my next question, CJ, is like, you know, should it really be our goal for religion to impact society? Because when I think of religion, I think of, like, the rules and the structure, which, you know, I have some people tell me they think religion is bad and we just need to follow Jesus. I think that religion has its goods, and I do see the weaknesses at times, but you know, I wouldn't say it's all bad. I think it's good to feel like you're a part of a community and have a religious aspect to that. But I know it's gone so far that some people will say they are not religious, but they are spiritual. And I know that was kind of a awakening for Chris he had when he did a funeral for somebody who their family told him that they were not religious, but they were spiritual. And so they wanted to have a funeral that was spiritual. And for Chris, he's like, well, I'm a Christian, so you know, I'm gonna talk about Jesus in the Bible. But at the end of the day, like, that was appropriate to them because it fit in kind of that spiritual idea that they have. And I, you know, I don't want to speak for them too much, but that was kind of what I gained from talking to him about the situation. But so CJ, let's go back to my question there. I mean, should it be the goal for religion to have an influence on our society, or should we be more focused on saying, you know, maybe the Bible or Jesus, or perhaps even the church should have a bigger influence on society rather than religion itself?
My general focus when I speak to students about the influence that they have is that if the church would be influential, the people of the church. So if individuals would be influential with their sphere of influence, that would impact society. Mm-hmm. I think too often we rely on the big organization of the church or the big organization of Christianity to push things for society, when in reality, I think that if we would spend less time focusing on the big organization as a whole, and we would spend more time focusing on our own circle of influence and encouraging the fellow Christians around us to influence their own circle of influence, I think that would start a change in society more so than saying, you know, the church has got to set this up as a change agent for society. I think it starts with just influencing our own circles.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, you know, I've been watching, obviously, a lot of basketball lately. It's March, and if anybody's a college basketball fan, you know, March Madness, all that stuff. And, you know, they always do the interviews with the players after the game when they win, and they say, how could you get to this moment? What brought you here? And every time they have some kind of answer that's like, you know, we just took it practice by practice, day by day, you know, game by game, possession by possession. You know, they're very methodical and they're focused. You know, they don't say, oh, we're going to go win the championship, and that was just what we dreamed of the entire time, and so that's the only thing we focused on. They said, no, we focus on the play that was in front of us. And for, you know, for us who follow Jesus, I feel like that needs to be our focus. Who is the person in front of us that we're trying to influence, and we're trying to treat them like Christ? You know, it can sometimes feel like an overwhelming task, the Great Commission, to go out to all the world, all nations, baptizing, teaching them. I mean, that's a huge, huge task. But when you realize you're not the only one doing that task, when you realize that there are, you know, so many others who are trying to accomplish that task at the same time, you have the, you know, less stressful, I'm trying to think of a good way to put it, but you kind of have that ability to say, I'm going to focus on my neighbor. I'm going to focus on the other parent at the sports games that I'm talking, you know, my kids' sports games or something like that. Or I'm going to focus on the team that I coach or whatever it might be, right? I mean, we're going to focus on the people who are closest to us, or maybe just even one individual person, saying we're going to take it person by person by person, which can sometimes be frustrating because, you know, you don't lead a person to Christ and 40 minutes like you have a basketball game in 40 minutes most times. maybe some people get lucky, but right, I mean, it's a long process, and you just have to take, you know, each conversation by conversation. Any thoughts with that, CJ, before we move on?
No, I agree, man. You're right on target.
Awesome. Yeah, I think you and I were on the same page with a lot of that, so everything you said, I was like, I was just going there. All right, our next news worthy item to bring up. So Kanye West, if you don't know who Kanye West is, he is a rapper. He's had some pretty vulgar raps and things like that in his past. However, he did maybe 5 or 6 years ago, something like that. He put out an album that was church kind of music and spiritual raps and about Jesus. And even at one point in time, he was leading his own church out in Los Angeles or Vegas or something like that, but out in a large area like that. And so he was kind of looked upon as like this rapper that had converted to Christ and made his life very much so about them. Well, Kanye's having a little bit of issues with that now. And he said, I'm trying to find the exact quote of what he said. I apologize. Okay, here we go. Says the film producer that spoke with Kanye about this, he said, Kanye is mixed up about Jesus. The role of Jesus isn't to be our cleanup crew or our genie or grant us wishes, the social commentator and film producer wrote. We all have to be responsible for our choices and consequences they have. It also comes off really bad for place. Really bad pl to place blame on Jesus for not having as much money as you think you should when you're incredibly rich. So a lot of this, where this comes from, is that Kanye is maybe not as happy with some of his financial blessings that he feels he should have from God, and he has issues with giving God all of the control in his life. I'll do my best to find the exact quote from Kanye here in just a second. But CJ, the whole story of Kanye West, the Jesus is King album, all that stuff, and kind of what he's going through now after reading the article. What are some of your thoughts?
I think, man, I think Kanye is one of those guys that probably grew up having some sort of spiritual influence. I mean, one of his first songs was Jesus Walks, and I can remember when that came out when I was in college and thinking, wow, this guy might be in something good. And then he came out with other stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe not. But I think that he has had some spiritual influence. But as I read this article, it seemed like to me, he went a lot into praying to Jesus and not seeing the results that he wanted to see. But he kind of divided it up into two sections. Like at one point, he was talking about praying to Jesus and Jesus kind of not answering the prayers in the way that he thought he should. And then in another section, he was talking about the people of the church and how they use prayer as a cop out to not go out and do physical acts that where they could be actually helpful to people. They just kind of say, I'll pray for you. And so from one perspective, I was like, well, Kanye's kind of right in this area. Like, I think a lot of times we do say, I'll pray for you, and we could actually do something for the person. And we just don't. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about with that sphere of influence. Like, I think we sometimes rely on the big church when we could go out and we could be the hands and the feet of Jesus right in front of us to the people that we have influence with. But then, as he's so from one perspective with Kanye, I agree. Like, we need to be more intentional about meeting people's needs and serving people and showing people the love of Jesus in a very tangible way. From the other perspective, where he's saying, I prayed and Jesus didn't answer my prayers, I think there's a misunderstanding of prayer there from his perspective. And, prayer isn't always answered the way that we want it to be answered. And so, for him to just kind of throw off Jesus because Jesus didn't answer prayers the way he wanted, that was alarming to me. And then in the end, he said, I am God and I'm the new Jesus. And that was just, I think at that point, he's kind of just one of those guys that says the first thing that comes to his mind without giving it a whole lot of thought, and then just kind of doubles down on that. And I think that's kind of where he's at right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I found the quotes exactly, so I'll go ahead and read them because I know it'll give a little bit more clarity to what you're saying. He said, "I just feel like in our society and America, people, Christians, will depend on Jesus so much that we don't put the word in ourself. And the main thing that I don't rock with is people like, I'm going to pray for you. It's just like you can actually physically do something yourself too, more than just praying. So I think that was kind of the quote you were getting at, right? He also said earlier on, he said, "I have my issues with Jesus," West began during an interview which lasted over an hour. "There's a lot of stuff I went through and I prayed, and I ain't seen Jesus show up." So, yeah, I think that there are some stuff here. There is some stuff here that is troublesome. My first thought was, did Kanye get good biblical teaching when he converted to Christianity and to Jesus? That would be my thought, because some of the stuff that he seems to be having issues with, you would typically have ironed out as you learn and grow and get taught more about God, and not just have an emotional relationship with him, but also feel like you know him better, right? And his character and who he is. But at the same time, like, I agree, like, sometimes we do just kind of use prayer as a cop out, or sometimes we do just use like giving money and offering as a cop out, and we say, well, if I give money, then somebody else will do the work and make this happen. When in reality, it's we are a community and we do need to be serving together. And I believe that not only sacrifice through offering helps us grow, but also sacrifice through our time and service to other people helps us grow as well. So, I mean, CJ, obviously, the overarching part of this is like education about God, right? And knowing who he is, but also having a stronger relationship and learning from other people and how they live their lives for Christ. But I mean, do you feel like there is anything we can do for new Christians, or is it maybe just like a case by case, each individual person, where we really help them not have issues like what Kanye seems to be having? I mean, I'm praying for Kanye. I hope that Kanye works through some of these things, because I do think that he can be a fantastic influence for Christ in his community. But at the end of the day, I mean, what do you feel like is kind of the right response in situations like this, where we can help new Christians understand God better and maybe not have some of these issues?
I think the big thing for me that I would express to new Christians is, because you have this relationship with Jesus does not mean your life's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be times of turmoil. Doesn't mean that things may not even, things may fall apart at times. And the thing that you can rely on Jesus most for is that he's going to walk with you through it. And he's going to be there with you step by step in the middle of the storm. And I think a lot of times, I think from this article, it seems like Kanye is saying, all right, God's going to stop the storm. And really, it's just when things are difficult, when life falls apart, God's right there walking with you through it. And I think that's the big thing that we can push is that, you're still loved, you're still valuable, you're still God's still got you in his hands. He's walking with you through this difficult time.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you're right. And we just a lot of times we have to be there for them as well, for those questions and
Absolutely.
hearing some of these issues. Unfortunately for people like Kanye, I feel like all their issues and with Jesus, like, people want to interview them and put it out in the media, so it's really hard for him to have an actual conversation. But if there is somebody in his life who cares about him, to sit down with him and not turn it into an interview and just turn it into friends discussing and sharing and learning together, I think that kind of stuff is so much more valuable. So,
Absolutely.
all right, our last one here, CJ. So I don't know, have you ever watched The Chosen? Do you pay much attention to that?
I have not watched The Chosen yet at this point. Have you?
I watched season one, and it was fine. It was one of those shows where you really have to intently pay attention the entire time to it, or else you kind of get lost on what's going on. So I'm kind of ADHD a little bit, so it's a little difficult for me. But there was, I mean, I liked it. I didn't like it enough to like seek out season two, but I know, I think there's a season two. There might be a season three out there as well. But I don't have any major problems with it or anything. If somebody told me they like it, okay, awesome. One of the controversies with the Chosen has been that people believe that, well, and I don't know how much it's been confirmed, but people do believe that it has been largely funded by the LDS church, that is Mormonism. And people do have some issues with Mormons claiming to be Christians. And if you know about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, they don't believe exactly the same things. However, we get into some of those issues here. Where Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, he is talking about his friends who are Mormons. And actually, in the interview, I'm not going to read every quote exactly, as I always do. I'll link the article in the description so you can go read it there. But he kind of goes into this fact that, he feels like he can work with Mormons on this project. Not that Mormons influence the project, but he can work with them because they believe in the same Jesus that he does. And that's kind of the constant, relationship between the two, is that they believe in the same Jesus. Well, as they go throughout the interview, the interviewer kind of talks about, well, it's not exactly the same. The Jesus that Mormons believe in are not exactly the same, is not exactly the same that, most Christians believe in from what the Bible says. And Dallas kind of refutes that and says, well, that's not what my Mormon friends have said. And so there's a lot of issues here, possibly with Dallas Jenkins not understanding Mormonism, which, if I didn't study Mormonism to the point that I have, because I recognize that it's a something that I think ministers need to be aware of in today's society, especially Christian ministers, you would kind of see that, they don't believe in the same one. But the issue that I find is that many Mormons don't believe the deep beliefs of Mormonism and who God is and who Jesus is and what they believe in. They just kind of know the surface level stuff. Again, I'm not insulting anybody here. That's just been my experience, and it sounds like it's been the experience of Dallas Jenkins as well. But CJ, obviously, you read the article. I mean, did you kind of get the same thing from it? Obviously, Dallas Jenkins goes on to say that, Mormonism has not played a large part in influencing the Chosen, and they stick to the Bible and not, they don't go to the Mormon Bible or anything like that, but they stick to the Bible. I mean, what are your thoughts on Dallas Jenkins' interview here and some of his comments on Jesus?
I think there's been a few times that I've come across some Dallas Jenkins comments where, kind of like what we said with Kanye, he seems to be the type of person that maybe says some things that just kind of pop into his head that seem logical at the time, but are not super well thought through. And I think that, if he had paused for a moment and, said, these friends that I have worship the same Jesus. I think that would have been a more appropriate quote than a blanket statement, Mormonism Jesus and Christianity Jesus are the same, because they're not. They're just, at the end of the day, they're not. And so I think that I've experienced a few quotes like that where he's had to kind of come back and rehash some things and talk through some things. I think that there are, like you said, there are, just like Christianity, there are Mormons that are staunch in their religious beliefs, and there are Mormons that are very, very surface level. Same with Christianity. And so he's probably dealing with some very surface level Mormons that are just kind of, exploring. I don't know, but that would be my guess. And then he made a blanket statement, and so I think it was probably just one of those times where, again, he just kind of said something that popped in his head and is doing some cleanup from that.
Yeah, and I mean,
John.
I think, like, as far as the issue about Mormonism and the influence it plays on the Chosen, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read through the New Testament. Obviously, I'm a little bit less versed on the Old Testament. I've read through the New Testament more, but I mean, when I watched Chosen season one, I didn't find a whole lot of Mormon influence on Jesus and who he is. It seemed pretty, I can't speak for season two and three because I didn't see it, but seemed pretty accurate in who Jesus is. So I would tend to agree with Dallas that it doesn't seem like Mormonism has influenced the Chosen in such a way, but it sounds like kind of what you were saying is like, maybe he hasn't done the most research with some of his LDS friends and who either the Mormonism believes Jesus is, or maybe who they believe Jesus is. I mean, the final quote in one of these here is he's saying, "All I'm saying is that these people that I'm referring to love the same Jesus that I do." And either one of two things is happening here. Either Dallas Jenkins doesn't understand the Jesus that his Mormon friends believe in, or his Mormon friends don't understand the kind of Jesus that Mormonism teaches him to be. Because, like you said, the Jesus that Mormons worship, the LDS Church, is not the same Jesus that Christians worship, that is taught through the Bible. And so that's kind of one of the big issues there. CJ, obviously you've looked into Mormonism a little bit. You were familiar enough to be able to spot out some of the differences, maybe not just in Jesus, but possibly in some areas as well. Do you have any tips for Christians when it comes to the LDS Church and maybe how we can better understand or maybe better minister to them, or maybe just how we can deal with that subject with other people at all?
I think that again, it goes back to your circle of influence. Like the Mormons that come knocking on your door, I wouldn't get into a huge discussion with them. I wouldn't be rude to them and be like, "Get off my property." I would just kindly show them the love of Jesus and say, "I'm not super interested. Thank you." But if you have a friend that is a Mormon and a person that you have influence with, the first thing that I would say is do your research. Do your research about what Mormonism is and what it believes. Read some good books on it. There's a book that I read. I don't see it right now.
I think I have one. Let me go ahead.
But it was all about different denominations and cults, and it went in depth into Mormonism and what they believe and what Bible verses are different and what was changed. And when you can dig in that deeply and help yourself understand where your friend is coming from, then you can have some deeper discussions with the appropriate knowledge to be able to express your differences in a kind and knowledgeable way. I think that would be the biggest thing. For someone that has a friend that is a Mormon that you want to have some deep discussions with, just do your research.
Right, and I
What
think
do you
the
think,
point that
John?
you, yeah, I think the point that you said at the beginning of, being kind, especially to those that might, knock on your door or something like that. I had friends in high school and college that like to play pranks on them and stuff like that. And it was kind of funny to think about, when you're a little bit more juvenile. But at the end of the day, like, those are people, and kind of, some Mormons can have a bit of a bad taste in their mouth about Christians when they do that.
And that's the
But
last thing we want.
exactly. But the book that helped me the most, this one right here, I don't know if you how well you can see it, but and if you're listening on podcast, it is Passport to Heaven: The True Story of a Zealous Mormon Missionary Who Discovers the Jesus He Never Knew. So this book is fantastic. CJ, I might even you might let you borrow it or something if you're interested in it, but it is by Micah Wilder, MICA Wilder, WILDER. Just a fantastic book. Really helped me understand, because he's a former Mormon, Mormonism, and kind of get not only a grasp of the Mormon faith, but also his conversion over to it. Super cool story of him and his family and everything else. If we had more time, I'd tell you more about it. But just even if you don't read the book, go research Michael Wilder. The dude does tons of podcast interviews and everything else. So even if you don't read the book, you can sit down and listen to an hour and a half long podcast and hear this guy's story. And it really will help you better understand Mormonism and his conversion over from it. So yeah, that's all I got. CJ, you got anything else before we get out of here, man?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
So.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to FCC Talk. We had a great time discussing our topics today, and we will be back next week. We'll see if we get Chris, maybe Dan. We'll see how busy Chris is next week, and we'll try to get him on. Thanks, CJ. Have a good one.
Have a great day, guys.